Wine Time with Melanie Bolduc. Today's guest is Peter Emery, wine veteran from Maine. How are you?
I'm doing great, Melanie.
I'm good
Thanks for asking
to
me.
be
Thanks for
chatting.
bringing me out of retirement and
And
asking me
I
to
know. Thank you so much for being here. So
talk on the show.
Peter, tell me your wine story.
Well, I don't know how exciting it is, but I was totally out of my element when I got into the wine business. I was a phys ed criminal justice major in college and ended up bartending. And I think that that's how a lot of people actually kind of end up in the wine business, alcohol business, whatever,
I
is through
see.
the restaurant business. And so I bartended and bar manager and
Where did you grow up, Peter?
general manager. I grew up outside of Boston in
Okay.
Winchester, Mass. But
Oh, I know Winchester. Yeah.
I've been in Kennebunk for 40 years.
Right.
I've been up here for a long time, but
Right.
as all our Mainers know, that we're not from Maine unless you were born here. But
That's
at
okay.
any rate,
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
so I did that, and I was general manager of another restaurant in Kennebunkport, and really piqued my interest in wine. And there wasn't a lot of education
Yeah.
on wine, and you're kind of feeling your way through the dark.
Sure.
And then I got a job selling wine and beer for a small distributor, Durago Distributors, in Portland, that then got absorbed by Nappy Distributors.
Right.
And I did fine wine shops and restaurants from Portland down to Kittery, and
Essential.
really learned the business that way. And at the time in Portland, which is now this great, wonderful foodie city, I mean, in the old port, there was probably about 10
I know, yeah.
restaurants.
But
I
the
mean,
Seaman's Club. Remember the Seaman's Club was the best thing ever.
Seaman's Club, Old Port Tavern, Baker's Table. I
Right.
mean, DeMillo's, you can go, there's, but it's real. And
Joyce.
now
Joyce has always been there.
there's 200 licenses in Portland, I believe. Something like that. I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's really come a long way. And so then I went to after I was with Nappy, or I got hired by Horse Feathers, which is a great old restaurant group. We had seven restaurants, and I was the beverage director in charge of all of their beverages, their liquor, beer, wine, etc., in the seven restaurants. And it was a great, very cutting edge, kind of a contemporary atmosphere, great food. And they also had a pretty progressive wine program. And another little restaurant called Hurricane down in Perkins Cove,
Still there. Yeah.
they had a very good wine by the glass program. And so when I went there, we expanded it. I think to this day, now that Hurricane has moved to Kennebunkport, they have, well, the last I knew, it was 40 wines by the glass. So very, very progressive wine by the glass program. And so I did that. And then Jeff Kane at National Distributors hired me as the sales manager at National Distributors. And it was, oh, mid-80s, and it was right when the kind of California wines were exploding, but you couldn't necessarily get your hands on them. They didn't have enough. A lot of them didn't have enough, and it wasn't worth what they would get charged for licenses in the state of Maine.
Right.
So I set a friend of mine up in a brokerage. I didn't set him up, he did it, but I convinced him to do it, and then we brought him in through him. So we've
Oh, nice.
brought in the likes of I brought into Maine Ferrari Carano,
Wow.
Camus, B.R. Cohn, Stelzner, Newton, Deloach, Silverado, Duckhorn.
I was at Silverado 2 years ago. It's an amazing winery.
It's unbelievable. Back on the Silverado Trail, that was a Disney property,
Yes.
That was
I know. It's owned by
Lillian
Foley
Disney
family
owned
wines
it.
now. Yeah. But Foley bought it just after I left. But yes, it was spectacular. And that
It's beautiful.
it is amazing.
And so we got them to come into Maine, and we convinced them. And it was funny because I was listening to one of your podcasts, Melanie, of the B.R. Cohn connection, which was one of your folks, one of your guests was talking about B.R. Cohn, Bruce Cohn, manager of the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I brought them in and I talked to Bruce about it. And a very funny story. I ended up bringing some wines and I getting them backstage at a Doobie Brothers concert in Old Orchard. And went into the trailer, met all the guys and all that stuff. And then I got invited to the B.R. Cohn Celebrity Golf Tournament, which was great because the whole rock and roll thing and the Doobies were there and Little Feet and Graham Nash and all these people. Anyway, it was good. And he still does that, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's a big benefit. So I would support that. If anybody's in Sonoma and can take a look at that and support that, that would be great. But one of the things that I recognized that when I was at, when I first started selling wine, there was no education. And of course, we did not have the internet. We didn't have, and I was basically tossed a book. I got hired and I was tossed a sales book and said, go out and, you know, see you later, call on these accounts.
Get out there.
Unbelievable. I'm selling stuff. I can't pronounce it. I don't know.
And then you didn't have the internet to look it up too, right? So
there was nothing. So I locked on to a guy from Cobrand who was a Rhodes Scholar, former Rhodes Scholar, absolute wealth of knowledge. And I sat down with him several times and put a tape recorder on. And I said, look, let's go through your portfolio. Right. Let's go through all of this stuff on Burgundy, Bordeaux, and just try to piece it all together. And then I would listen to the tapes in the car. And then I started to, learn more and more. And it was difficult back then. Now there's everything. But so when I became the sales manager at National Distributors, I wanted to make education a little bit of a focus.
Of course.
So I did a series of tastings with Kevin Zraley, Windows on the World wine course, which at the time was kind of the Bible in terms of easy learning about wine without having to pick up a book on Bordeaux or Burgundy and try to decipher it. And Kevin actually became a good friend because we did several events together in both Maine and New Hampshire. And he really broke it down. And I thought that one of the things that we could bring as value to our customers was to educate them and help them decipher and better understand wine and the different regions and the different grape varieties, et cetera. So I did that. I had Louis Latour come and do an event for us. I had Clive Coates, who was the author of a tremendous book on Burgundy. And it all worked out. And I think that was something valuable. And I think it's still to this day, even though there's a tremendous amount of resources compared to what I was dealing with, 40, 30 years ago. But education and understanding what you're selling is very important for restaurants, for wine bars, for it's all just very, very important. And so it's nice that that's all out there. And I've since become a sommelier and blah blah all that stuff. But then I went to work for Banffy Vendors, which at the time was the largest importer in the country, and we had of course. All of these big companies, people have to understand, and they may turn their nose up at some of these wines, but they all have a cash cow behind them.
Right.
And that
bread and butter, as I call it.
Absolutely.
And there's room for everything in the market. I say that all the time to everyone, because for all the Barefoots of the world, there's a Banffy. There's always gonna be some balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so Banffy, with a 7,000 acre estate in Montalcino and basically resurrecting, spending 30 years, 40 years resurrecting Brunello di Montalcino. That was all done by Riniti.
Right.
They were the importer of Riniti. And you would not believe how much Riniti they sold. I mean, for years and years and years, when I took over New Hampshire for them, I found records that they were selling 250,000 cases of Reuniti in New Hampshire.
Wow.
Just New Hampshire.
Right.
So anyway, that helps them, you know, develop this platform to be able to go out and do this, these tremendous things with you know, more esoteric wines. Meanwhile, you know, someone's home paying the bills. And then they picked up Concertoro.
Right.
And
Concertoro, out of the gate, you know, the 1.5s. And I have to tell you, like, packaging means everything. Because I remember when we were young, I always drank Concertoro. That was my go-to because they had 1.5s. And I think that at that stage, they were like under $10 each or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. That's what
and
we drank.
That was the time that at that time, if a distributor was not up, at this point I'm managing distributors,
right,
mainly Hampshire and Vermont. If the distributor was not up 40%, you're on the phone calling them going, what happened?
Right.
What was wrong this month? And those are growth numbers that not many people experience. So
yeah.
It was
you might
fun.
Not see that today.
Huh?
Up by 40%. I mean, you might not see that by today.
Yeah, no,
The market
I
is so
don't
flooded
think
now. Back then, you probably only had a certain amount of SKUs within the market itself, right? And
Sure,
so the
sure.
market is so flooded with more product now than it ever did, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So that went on, and I got to enjoy, you know, all of the great single vineyards and the Brunellos that Banffy produced, and the fine wines that Banffy produced. And it's a great company. It's pared down quite a bit now,
right,
from what it was 30 years ago when I was with them, or 25 years ago, whatever it was. Being retired, I tend to try to lose track of some of those dates. So anyway, they were great. And then I went to work as the VP, general manager of Southern Wine and Spirits,
right,
for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Okay.
For the wine division.
Right.
No spirits, but
at that time Southern had wine in Maine, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We had wine in Maine and Vermont.
But
Mostly only the ones that were attached to liquor companies,
right,
like Diageo, Pernod Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had Wente and some other brands that were very good, and they were strong. So I had, you know, there was a full sales force in New Hampshire, and then the portfolio managers that managed all of the different portfolios. We had a huge wine book in New Hampshire, and quite smaller in Maine and Vermont, but I had state managers in Maine and Vermont, and which were great, and they're still good friends. And I just actually had lunch with both of the Vermont and the New Hampshire, Vermont and Maine sales managers the other day.
Was it Joe Taylor? Was Joe Taylor the main guy?
No, Jolene Masters.
Right.
Yeah, and then Kurt Spann, who's he's with Dry Creek now.
Okay.
I just enjoyed a wonderful bottle of Dry Creek Fumé Blanc last night at Scales in Portland.
Nice. There you
yeah.
go.
So, so that one, you know, that went great. But I was living in Concord, New Hampshire during the week, and coming back to Kennebunk on weekends. So that got old after a pretty short period of time.
There's no direct route, really. You got to drive down south to Portsmouth and then up, you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The back roads, forget
As
it.
The crow flies, it would take you, you know, it'd take you 45 minutes, but right. No, not a lot of fun. So I wanted to move back to Maine. So I came back and I took a job with Trinquero Estates, Trinquero Family Estates out of Napa, and Gadzooks, their parent, their cash cow is Sutter Home, which has paid oodles and oodles and oodles and millions of dollars in cases over the years. And that's another family owned company, wonderful people.
Yep.
And they have some incredible single vineyard Napa Valley wines that are just absolutely tremendous. But, you know, they're funded by a number of brands, but the big ones are Sutter Home and Ménage à Trois.
Right.
And I think Sutter Home is still close to 10 million cases a year.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of money coming from there, and it allows them to do some incredible things. And, you know, and they were a lot of fun. Oh, actually, the other one that I really enjoy that's in their portfolio is Joel Gott.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Gott is a great guy. He's right. a really, really nice,
yep.
fun, entrepreneurial guy. And he's very good. And then, you know, when I saw the opening to get out of the corporate world, which was a desire that I had, I had been in it for a number of years, and it was great, and it right. treated me well. I had an opportunity to join your friend, my friend, Peter Welch.
Our Peter.
And in Optimus Imports, mm-hmm. and with Bruce Forsley, Fred Forsley of Shipyard fame,
right. yep.
as partners. Peter Fernald is also yep. a partner, but
I met him the other day. Actually, I met him with the other Peter. I finally met the third Peter.
Oh, you did? Yes.
I did. Yeah, I met him with Peter Welch. Yeah.
Yeah, Peter's a great guy. I worked with him actually years ago at National Distributors.
Right.
So we did that, and we imported some wines. Bruce had cultivated a very, very good relationship with Cappy's in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which was a big retailer.
Big North Shore retailer, yep, for sure.
An importer. Mm-hmm. And we had cultivated this relationship where we were jumping on their containers, importing a bunch of Italian wines,
mm-hmm.
but it also gave us access when we went down there to their warehouse to take a look and walk through the warehouse and see some of their labels, kind of their private labels,
right?
Their things that they were importing and or bringing in from California. So we could kind of cherry pick those a little bit and jump in and get 10 cases, 20 cases, 50 cases, whatever, and bring them into Maine. And so we did that. So that was a lot of fun. And
good. And then Bess Parker was the big flagship wine for that.
Bess yeah. Parker was a big, big one for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Right.
Very big in Maine. Yeah. And actually, one thing that helped Fess along, actually, well, because they're tremendous wines. Fess Parker was, you know, wonderful wines, and we did very well with them in Maine and New Hampshire, and a little bit in Vermont. But so that was a lot of fun, and then. Peter and I both had an opportunity, Peter and I, the three Peters, as I like to say, well, I won't say it. Well, yeah, 600 pounds of Peter, 700 pounds of Peter. We got bought out, so now it's just retirement.
Good.
So it's pretty cool. And the rock and roll still, is kind of, calm down after COVID.
Right. But you're in a band, is that correct?
For years and years and years, yes. Right. I've always been involved in music. And
what do you play?
I play drums.
Okay, nice.
And if you know anybody that would like, I've got, there's one set I'm not selling, but I've got four other sets in my garage.
Anybody wants to buy if them. I had space, my son would love to take up the drums again. That was his first instrument. And then...
Really?
He didn't, I want to say, I don't know why we stopped going to classes, but we did, but he really liked the drums. And then he moved on to the piano. And that's why we're getting rid of the piano, because now he's forgotten all about that. And now he's learning how to play the saxophone at school. But then he picked up an electric guitar recently, and he's like, that's it, mommy. I just want to play an electric guitar. I'm like, it's all over.
That's good.
It's all
that's
over. Good. He's it's just, all now it's the electric it's guitar. And he's already picking out songs he wants to play, like he's got it in his head, so it's great.
Well, you ought to. I had the good fortune of playing with some really, really good people, and one of them I played with for 20, 25 years. He lives here in Kennebunk. He was a bass player for Madonna, David Bowie, Cyndi Lauper, Bill Chinook,
right,
who was local back in the day, Benny King.
Wow.
And he introduced us to Jack Sawney, And we played with Jack Sonny a bunch of times. And Jack was the other guitarist in Dire Straits.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Jack played Live Aid. He did 250 plus shows, 3.5 years with Dire Straits. But no, Jack's been here in my living room. He's been out to my house at Chabig. He's an honorary member of the Pete Emery Band.
Okay. Which plays, I love it.
Plays once a year out on Chabig Island.
Oh, nice. So, and when is that?
We've got, we haven't done it in a few years ever since COVID. And unfortunately, Jack just passed away
about
3 months ago. But I bring these guys out, and it's a great group of guys, great players. A couple guys from the Broken Men. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny because have you ever heard of Go Big Gronger, Greg Martens? Greg Martens does a concert every year on his birthday, which is March 3rd. And this year it was at the Portland House of Music. And Greg used to work for the Grateful Dead, and he worked for Blues Traveler after Jerry died. And he knows everybody. You know, he's friends with Warren Hayes.
Oh, Robbie went up and played.
Yeah. So,
Two guys went up.
I saw the Broken Men play I went on the Friday. So he does two shows. And Tyrone Vaughn was there, who's also been on this podcast. And Darby Savin, who's been on this podcast as well. And so so I actually saw them play on the Friday. My cousin was a big fan of them when I was younger.
I did three shows. Well, Butchie, the bass player from Broken Men, was with us, the LVP, for probably 5 years. And he died last year. But Robbie and we did two or three shows down at the Pilot House and with three guys from the Broken Men.
Wow.
Butchie, Robbie, and what's his name, the drummer, and I played too. So we had two drummers, and then I brought in Mike Hayward. I don't know if you know Mike, but he's a big blues player in Portland. Mm-hmm. I brought him in. He's a fraternity brother of mine, another pedal steel player. It was great. But I saw Robbie a month ago at the Commercial Street Pub.
Okay.
And yeah, and we chatted for quite a while. I hadn't seen him for a while.
Yeah. It's funny because when I worked for Southern, I called on CSP. That's what we call it. And somebody texted me one night, and I was like, CSP, does that mean? We couldn't figure out what CSP meant. And someone was like, come smoke pot. I was like, no.
Oh, there you go.
It doesn't mean that. And then finally texted me back. I go, oh, my God, what is CSP? He's like, Commercial Street Pub. I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, Johnny sells a ton of Fess Parker.
Right?
And he sold some of our Pinot Grigio.
Oh, good.
And, you know, he's not a fine wine account, but it's a fine wine account for what he drinks at home.
Right. So
he buys a lot of stuff. So I would be calling Steve Kao and saying, Kao, he wants a case of this. He wants this. Get Johnny, because Johnny will just call me at 10 o'clock at night and say, what do you got for magnums of, you know, it's, I don't know.
Christmas is coming. But I used to sell them liquor for Southern. So we both called them. And to Emily. Yeah. We'll give Emily and John a shout out because we love them both so much.
Emily's a sweetheart.
She's an angel. Yeah, she's from California, actually. She's originally a California girl.
Oh, she's Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Because I told her when she goes to Santa Barbara, I would set her up at Fess Parker.
Right.
And we were talking about it, and it was when I was with Optimus, and she was going out, and I said, you just give me the dates, and then COVID.
Yeah, COVID changed everything. How we date, how we eat, it changed everything, really. So, But so your love is for music. So, but you've been playing music all your life?
Kind of. My father was a big band drummer. That's how he worked his way through college. And my stepfather was in Who's Who of American Folk Singers.
Wow.
So we learned, you know, drums and guitar from them, and still play. My daughter was a music major in college, and I've been playing in bands for. I started as a kid. And then there was a big void there about 15 years. And then I started again 30 years ago and never. And well, COVID kind of stopped things, but
yeah.
And my age, and I don't want to be out late, and you know,
it's just, I got you. Yeah. Nobody was,
you know, it was good, but I had, like I said, I had the good fortune to play with a lot of great people.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know Billy Bennett. Do you know Billy Bennett?
I know the name.
Yeah, yeah, he's Stan's brother. Remember Stan passed away? Oakhurst Derry, the Bennett brothers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's in a band called Elmore Twist, and they play at Jay's every year. Well, they used to play
the Oakhurst
Festival, which doesn't happen anymore. So we had a party at Jay's. I think it was Cindy and Colleen's birthday party. And Elmore Twist plays anytime there's an event at Jay's. And yeah, but they're just, you know, great guys. They play all the old, like, Rolling Stones and the Doobie Brothers. And, you know, Billy's in the band. I think he's a drummer, too. And yeah, but it's lots of fun. But
well, love to see those guys. Love to see
yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you ever hear of Elmore Twist, you got to check them out. And so I ask all of my guests this, and I'll ask you, what do you love?
What do I love? What do I love about wine?
In general, just it's a question.
What I love about wine is the history,
right,
the romance, the viticulture, I love my family.
Yeah.
I love my 6 grandkids.
I love that. Oh, wow.
I love my 2 kids. The other thing that I love, and not to take up too much time, hopefully, but there's a lot of egos in this business.
Oh, I agree.
There's a lot of egos. There's a lot of people that they think they just invented it, et cetera. But what I love is the people that don't take themselves so seriously, and they really approach wine as this is fun, and they don't necessarily put it up on a pedestal.
Right.
And they don't, you know, they treat it as, listen, here it is. It's a beverage. It's fun. Enjoy. Eat. Drink. Okay. It's great.
Food beverage, people. This is food beverage.
One of the best examples of that is Gunlock Bunshu Winery. They have so much fun, and they always did. So that's what I enjoy, people having fun in the business.
Well, absolutely. And you know, that's what it's all about. The other thing, getting back to your education piece too, you know, the great thing about wine is you never stop learning, you know, and I never profess to be the person who knows everything. But I also did my due diligence of doing my sommelier, you know, steps to, you know, because I had to, for whatever trade reasons or whatever, which ended up paying off in the end. But, you know, I don't ever profess to be the person who knows everything. And I don't think anybody else should. You know, if you're Aaron Potts and you're making wine for 12 different wineries, then you can be, you know, I'm not to say, and he's not, he's the most humble person on the planet, but you know, I get it. But you know, most of the people who create wine are farmers, and they're, you know, it's all agriculture, and that's
absolutely
snobbery that goes with a lot of wine. And I'm always trying to make everything so approachable for people, because I just feel like there's a place in the market for everything. And I feel like that every consumer has a different palate. You know, like I could like Merlot and you could absolutely hate Merlot, but your favorite was Cabernet, and I can't stand Cab because it's peppery, you know, like,
I couldn't agree with you more. It's the
but
same
you're always
thing.
Learning people, and that's wonderful.
People, you know, people that are not in the wine business will say to me, oh God, you're a wine expert. I said, you know what, in all honesty, there is no such thing.
Right. It's a true
because you cannot know everything there is to know about wine. So I disregard that tremendously. And people ask, what's your favorite wine? I said, it all depends on who's picking up the tab.
Right. There you go. It's like, what am I going to have for dinner at Scales? Well, I don't know. Am I paying that? Okay. I'm going to have the tartare and a glass of wine.
Exactly. You know, whatever. It's fine. Yes. Now that I'm retired with no expense account.
Oh no, I know. You got to come to work for me.
No problem.
All kinds of perks.
No problem.
All right. So, and I ask all of my guests this, do you have a song for us today?
I do.
Okay.
And it's In the Mood by Glenn Miller.
Oh, okay.
Because if you're not in the mood for wine,
that's true.
This will get you in the mood.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, listen, Peter, thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge, and it was a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you very much, Melanie. I
And have a
appreciate
wonderful
it.
day, okay?
Thanks. You too.
Here's your song. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.